Wednesday, January 7th. The first reading from the first letter of St. John, chapter 4, verses 11 through 18. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. Yet if we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is brought to perfection in us. This is how we know that we remain in him and he in us, that he has given us of his Spirit. Moreover, we have seen and testify that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Whoever acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. We have come to know and to believe in the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever remains in love remains in God, and God in him. In this is love brought to perfection among us, that we have confidence on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and so one who fears is not yet perfect in love. Haydock Commentary. No one has ever seen God, that is, no mortal man hath seen God and the perfections of his divine majesty in such a manner as the blessed in heaven, but we have powerful motives to love and serve him and to love our neighbor for his sake. The love of God, which may either signify the love by which we love God or by which God loves us, perfected with us or in us, and so possesses our souls as to give us a humble confidence of our salvation when we shall appear before his tribunal at the day of judgment. Because as he is, we also are in this world. These words are differently expounded. They may signify that as God is always loving us and giving us marks and effects of his love, so we in this world by his grace are always loving him and our neighbor and increasing in this love, which gives us a confidence of our salvation. Or they may bear this sense, that as Jesus Christ was suffering in this world for us, so we are suffering for his sake. There is no fear in love. By the fear, which a perfect charity and love of God excludes, we may understand a fear of temporal losses in this world, or the loss of goods, of banishment, of torments, of death itself, which the love of God made so many glorious martyrs contemn. Or an anxious servile fear of punishment in the next world, for the more perfect charity and the love of God is, so much the more doth it banish this imperfect and servile fear. But as perfect charity does not exclude a love and constant desire of loving God as our last end, for whose enjoyment we were created, so it does not exclude a fear of displeasing, offending, and losing him by sin. Or perfect charity banishes human fear, that is, the fear of men, and also all perplexing fear, which make men mistrust or despair of God's mercy, and that kind of servile fear which makes them fear the punishment of sin more than the offense offered to God. But it in no way excludes the wholesome fear of God's judgments, so often recommended in Holy Scripture, nor that fear and trembling with which we are told to work out our salvation. See Philippians 2:12. The Gospel from Mark chapter 6, verses 45 to 52. After the 5,000 had eaten and were satisfied, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and precede him to the other side toward Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And when he had taken leave of them, he went off to the mountain to pray. When it was evening, the boat was far out on the sea, and he was alone on shore. Then he saw that they were tossed about while rowing, for the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out. They had all seen him and were terrified. But at once he spoke with them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." He got into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely astounded. They had not understood the incident of the loaves. On the contrary, their hearts were hardened. Haydock Commentary. The divine mercy often seems to desert the faithful in the height of tribulation, but God only acts thus that he may try their patience and reward them more abundantly. So says Nicholas of Lyra. They had not understood the incident of the loaves. That is, they did not reflect how great a miracle that was which Christ had lately wrought, otherwise they would not have been so much surprised at his walking upon the sea.